Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone loves to see kids in the church. It's always wonderful to have a congregation that is filled with children. And I have to say that compared to many, our church is doing quite well. We have lots of kids running around this place. I know we don't always see it when we're here for the 8 o'clock worship service, but let's face it, 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning when you want to sleep in is pretty early to get your family up and going. We have bunches of kids, and I'm thankful for that. The key, though, is keeping them around, which is harder than it seems. The statistics in our church body, and I think it's probably across most church bodies, is that there's about a 50% attrition rate from one stage of life to the next. Here's what that means. If we had 8 kids up here that were baptized, infants, babies, children, whatever they are, 8 kids that were baptized, by the time they reach the age of confirmation, 50% of them are gone. So now we only have 4 left. The research shows that by the time they reach high school graduation, another 50% are gone. Now we only have 2 left. And by the time they get to college, out of college, and beginning careers, another 50% are gone, and we only have 1 left. It's no wonder that churches across this country are in decline. And it's not just the kids that we have a hard time keeping around, but it's the parents, the grandparents, and everyone in between. And so these words that we hear today from Peter are important. Peter, the apostle, the friend of Jesus, who later on in his life and ministry wrote 2 different letters to the church. The words before us today are from his 2nd letter. And I want to actually back up to some verses that took place just before our reading, to verse number 10 of that first chapter. He says this: "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter is telling you there, stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with the faith. Don't abandon it. Don't leave it behind. Stick with it. That's easy for you to say, Peter. After all, Peter got to spend 3 years of his life with Jesus. Side by side, walking with him, talking with him, living with him, 3 years. That's easy for you to say, Peter. He was an eyewitness to the miracles of Jesus. He watched him heal people. He watched him cast out demons and walk on water. If you get to see those things, that's easy for you to say, Peter. And he got to hear the very voice of Jesus. He got to listen to the parables and hear the promises. So it had to be much easier for Peter to stick with it after all the things he was able to see and hear. And in this letter, he talks about one of those things that really stands out to him: the Day of Transfiguration. He says it this way: "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He's saying, hey, we didn't just make this stuff up, but I actually saw it. He says, I was an eyewitness to his majesty. And how did it put it there in the reading from Matthew, His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Jesus changed, transfigured, standing in front of them in all of his glory. And to top it off, he's joined with Moses and Elijah. And Peter got to see it all. Can you imagine? One of those experiences that would have stuck with him the rest of his life. Wouldn't it be nice to see God? And it would sure make it a whole lot easier to stick with it, wouldn't it? Especially when we turn on the TV and all we seem to see is bad news. Hatred, violence, war. News about how our country is falling apart, the economy is tanking, or the world is doomed. Wouldn't it be nice, in the face of all of that, just to see God, to get a glimpse of him? Make it easier to stick with it. You don't even have to turn on the TV, though. Just have to look at our own lives, don't we? Because we all face hardship and difficulty, health problems, relationship issues, stuff that's going on at school or at work, financial burdens, dealing with aging or the death of a loved one. Whatever it may be, there are those times where you feel like, man, I can't even catch a break. And in the midst of that, how nice would it be just to get a glimpse of God, right? Just to see him for a moment to help you stick with it. And if you can't see him, maybe at least you could hear him, right? Peter got to do that too. Listen to what he says next. He says, he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice. We heard it. It happened. It was real. It had to stick with Peter his entire life. And certainly made it easier for him to stick with it. Wouldn't it be nice to hear the voice of God? I mean, there's so many voices competing for our attention, aren't there? Voices with so many different messages. Voices trying to convince us God didn't really say that. Or maybe God doesn't really exist. And even if he did, he's no good anyway. And instead of those voices, wouldn't it be nice just for a minute to hear God speak to you? Make it easier to stick with it, wouldn't it? And even when we're not competing with the voices of the world, it's the voices in the people in our lives, or maybe the voices within our own minds. You know, the ones that say, oh, you're not good enough. The ones that say, yeah, there's no use. There's no hope. Instead of those voices, wouldn't it be nice to hear the voice of God? And then there's those times where even though there's all the noise and chaos of the world, it seems like we don't hear any voices at all. And we just want God to speak. Have you ever had those situations in your life where you've just kind of said to yourself, maybe you've even prayed to God, God, I just want to see you, I just want to hear you, just for a moment. Because you feel like you need that extra little boost to help you stick with it and help you get through. And if we had that, then like Peter had that, then maybe things would be better, right? Peter sure needed it. He knew how hard it is. I don't know if you noticed, but when the beginning of that gospel reading today, it started with the word 6 days after, which means that 6 days before that, something significant happened. And that something significant is when Jesus started to talk to Peter and the others about his upcoming death and what was going to happen to him. And Peter's response, remember? Never. No way. I'm not going to let it happen, Jesus. I'm not going to let you die. You shouldn't do that. And Peter looked at him and and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter. He didn't get it right. He messed up. He couldn't stick with it. And so Jesus gave him 6 days later this transfiguration experience to help him out, to inspire him, to encourage him. And now you would think that Peter's going to be okay, right? 6 months later, he finds himself warming himself by a bonfire in the dark of the night when someone comes up to him and says, "Hey, weren't you with Jesus?" "I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the guy. I've never met him." And not only was Peter unable to stick with it, but three times he denied even knowing the Lord. And if that happened to Peter, how can we expect to stick with it when we haven't even seen or heard his voice? And Peter says that we actually have something even better. Even though we haven't seen God with our eyes or heard him with our ears, you have something even better than that. Verse 19, we have the prophetic message, something more sure. Other translations say more reliable, more certain. Can you believe that? God says this word, this truth in the Bible is more sure, is more certain, is more reliable than if you were to see him face to face or hear his voice audibly speak into your ear. It doesn't seem to make sense at first, does it? I mean, because we long to see him and hear him, and God is telling you, you have something better right here. And Peter tells us why it's better. Verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. He's saying this word is not the interpretation of men, but it's the word of God, which makes it better than the things that you see and you hear, because the things you see and you hear, you have to interpret what those mean. And you may not get it right. Let's take an example. The cross of Jesus Christ. If you were to take a poll of those who stood at the foot of Jesus' cross, who actually saw it, who actually heard it, there are going to be lots of different interpretations. Right? The Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers would interpret that as, "We finally got rid of that rabble-rouser." Jesus' mother would interpret that as the worst day of her life when she watched her son die. The two thieves next to Jesus, they had much different interpretations, didn't they? One of them was cussing and swearing at Jesus, convinced that Jesus was deserving of death just like he was. While the other, he interpreted what was going on as the king entering into his kingdom. Radically different interpretations. The soldiers, some interpreted it as another day at work. Some interpreted what happened there as an innocent man dying, and at least one interpreted it as something very special. Many different people saw it. Many different people heard it with their ears, and they had different interpretations of what took place. But here we have God's interpretation, the understanding of what the truth really is, that on that cross, the Son of God, God in the flesh, died to take away the sins of the entire world and to give the gift of salvation. And that's just one example of how the words of this book are even better than the things you can see and hear for yourself. There's a second reason that this book is even better than what you see in here. Verse 21, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, through humans, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter is saying that in these words, the Holy Spirit works. And we need the Holy Spirit. Because the word is clear that without the Holy Spirit, we can have no faith. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand the things of God. And so you can have God stand right in front of you. You can have a conversation with him. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's not going to make any sense. You're not going to understand it. Here, we have the Holy Spirit at work through this word, which makes these words that we read today, these words that you heard today, these words that painted a picture of transfiguration, are more reliable, are more certain, and more sure than if you were to see it with your very own eyes. And this is exactly what you need so that you can stick with it. So that you can stick with the faith. So that you continue to hold on to the message of Jesus Christ. And when you do, you have exactly what Peter promised in those first verses I read. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.